Hello everyone, good evening, good afternoon, welcome to episode 20 of Synthopsis, Synthwave in a Synopsis. This episode is going to be a bit different. I kind of wanted to take a little bit of a break this week, so I thought, you know, it might be nice to just do a little bit of a recap of the podcast. It's been about 5 months now since I started, and I really wanted to take a step back and kind of talk with you guys sort of in the way that I do about what I've learned, what I've experienced, what I've been kind of feeling since I started this. And I really have learned a lot. It's only been 5 months, but frankly, it feels like it's been a lot longer. So I just want to kind of talk about where I'm at and hopefully maybe give some insight to some people. Because I think I've learned some cool things that everyone can get something out of. Let's get right into it. First and foremost, and I'm not going to really structure this too, I'm just kind of going to go down a list I have. First and foremost, I want to talk about the value of having a hobby. This is something I didn't really have previously in my life. I play a lot of video games. I used to play a lot more in the past, but it wasn't so much a hobby for me. Honestly, for a lot of my life, it was really an addiction and it was a really big problem, but it wasn't something I did every once in a while just for fun. I mean, yeah, but it was kind of like a controlling thing that was always there, and I have a lot of great memories from it, but I never really had something where I set aside time and effort to really to make something. You know, like if your hobby is woodwork, you set aside time and you make something really cool. You make a bench, you make a table, whatever. If your hobby is blacksmithing, you set aside time and you make a cool sword and you sell it to someone down the street for $10, probably a lot more than that. But you know, like that's like a real hobby, something you spend time and effort on. Video games don't really do that, so I've never really considered it a hobby, you know. But this podcast definitely is a hobby. It takes a lot of time, and on average for every episode, I mean, by now I've gotten pretty great at saving myself time with script writing and ideas and being more efficient. But each episode really does take, I think, anywhere from four to eight hours to prepare. I'd say really average is like 5 to 6, but the larger episodes definitely take much more time in between, like jotting down notes and fleshing it out into larger scripts and downloading music and preparing and all kinds of other things. It is a commitment, it's a time commitment, and it's something I found I really enjoy doing. And I think having a hobby has been very beneficial for me as a person because, one, it gives me something to do in my free time that I enjoy. After work or whatever, and thankfully I love my job, but after work I can kind of just chill and be like, while I'm listening to music, see, always like, how I got the idea of the podcast was I would always be listening to music, to synthwave, and I'd just be thinking to myself, like, oh, listen, you know, like, this pattern or this thing, blah, blah, I love Darkson for this reason, and I always had all these ideas, but I never got to really put them anywhere, so I was thinking, I want to put these ideas somewhere, so the podcast really is an idea of, like, when I have these ideas in my head, I can just, I throw them down to my phone, I make a giant list, I just word vomit over my phone, and then I flesh it out into a bigger script later on, and having this really lax format, this really lax structure that I do, I create everything, the whole process is mine, no one tells me what to do, and no one ever like is breathing down my neck about anything. It's so carefree and it's so great. I love being able to just do something that I thoroughly enjoy and I don't have anyone else saying, hey, you did this poorly, you know, what the hell's wrong with you? Like if you mess up at work, your boss is gonna be breathing down your neck, you know? It's not the case with a hobby. No one really cares in that way. You know, like, you know, even if I mess up like an episode or two, no one's even gonna say anything. No one will even notice that if I made a mistake, really, most likely. And if they do, then who cares, you know? And I just love that carefreeness that the podcast really has taught me, is that having a hobby is great because it's something carefree that you do for yourself. It gives you enjoyment, gives you fulfillment. It takes you outside of your work. It takes you outside of whatever is stressful for you. Maybe making music is your hobby already for a lot of you guys. But if you feel like making music isn't a hobby, I would really encourage you guys to honestly find one. Find something that you enjoy doing. And don't worry about money. You know, one reason, honestly, the biggest reason I don't I intentionally have never wanted to make money off the podcast is because I believe money kind of saps the joy out of things. I want this to be a passion project. And I feel like chasing the dollar bill kind of takes that away from it in a sense. For me personally, maybe some of you don't understand, you know, that's fine. Honestly, I don't expect everyone to. But I had a lot of my best friends IRL, you know, understandably, they were saying, you know, you got to do ads, you got to make some money off this, it's going to be good. But I was always against that because I believe firmly that the best content always comes from the heart. And whatever you do, if it's a podcast, if it's something you make with your hands, if it's your music, if it comes from your heart, it's going to be the best. Maybe not right away, but it'll get there, you know. You just keep honing it, but passion cannot be faked. And when you do something that you love and you do something that really sparks that your soul and your heart, it's you can't change that. No one can replace that. And it's so great to have a passion or a hobby like that. I really encourage every single person to find something that sparks them in the same way, whatever that may be. You know, maybe it's hiking on the weekends, maybe it's traveling somewhere, I don't know. Just find doing something that is a relief for you, because we live in such a stressful world, really, and work and anxiety and stress are just so overwhelming in our world, really. Like, we live in a society that just encourages working ourselves to the bone, and I mean, I'm really going on a tangent here, but I just don't think that's a productive way to live at all. I think we all need a break, we all need a release. This is mine, and I hope to try to give some people some relief also through the podcast. Maybe they learn something, I don't know. I hope. But yeah, having this as a hobby has been phenomenal, and I would encourage everyone to really look inside themselves and try to find a hobby. Maybe there's something you might have always had in the back of your mind, but you never got around to trying it. Just try it. You never know. Maybe you don't end up liking whatever you had in mind, but you won't know until you try, right? So hopefully this kicks you into doing something you want to do. This podcast has also been great for helping me to overcome some of my personal obstacles, mainly some of my fears, and helping me build my confidence. The biggest really was, well, let's start from the beginning. When I started this, I had no connection to anyone. I didn't know anyone in the Sinway community. I was not on Twitter. I didn't talk to anyone on Facebook. I was literally just a dude. I just appeared on Twitter one day, you know, I had my crappy logo, and I didn't even know what a podcast was. I've listened to like one or two podcast episodes in my entire life. All I knew was that a podcast is just a person talking into a microphone. But I didn't want to research it, frankly, because I'm lazy. I'm lazy and I'm kind of stubborn. But I thought, you know what? I really want to do this. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just going to try it. You know, F it. I'm just going to try it. I have a major effort. I'm just going to try it. I'll just open up a Twitter. I have no idea what I'm going to do for my first episode. I'm just going to talk about Dark Synth. That's what I love. And we're just going to roll with it, you know? And that's exactly what I did. And I kept doing it. And over time, I found that out, you know, as should happen with everything, I started getting better. I started noticing mistakes in the script and the quality. People, my friends were very, very helpful. IRL friends were extremely helpful at motivating me and encouraging me pointing things out. In particular, I had some friends that they listened to my early episodes and they were saying like, hey man, this could be better, this could be better. They helped me extremely with the quality, and I cannot thank them enough for that, really. You guys know who you are. I love you all to death. But really, I mean, it really helped me to push myself, because growing up, I was not one to ever really push myself. I always take the easy route, kind of, you know, like coasting along, I'm doing okay, whatever. Get B's, get C's in class, who cares, I graduate, move on. But this was something where I really took a kind of leap of faith, but I felt good because I didn't have anything to lose. Worst case scenario, I don't like it, or people think it's whack, and I quit, whatever. But that didn't happen, obviously. And over time, as I got more active on social media, and because the Synthwave community is so phenomenal, I started making friends, I started meeting people. People ended up liking me, and they respect me and trust me, thankfully, and I'm extremely grateful to every single person that listens, and every single artist that sends me a premiere track or talks to me and just gives me some of their time. It's honestly awesome. Which moves me on to my next point, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So starting the podcast was a little bit of a leap of faith that I took, was great. And I encourage you guys to, if something's holding you back, like I've talked about in previous episodes, I don't like to always talk about just synthwave stuff. But if you feel like there's something holding you back from you doing something you really want to do, I don't know, just take the leap of faith. Sometimes it's the right thing to do, you know. And again, it's cliche, but you really won't know till you try. So, you know, we all have like things holding us back, barriers, obstacles. I call it the comfort cage. I don't call it the comfort zone. So if you feel like there's something you want to do, then just try it, you know. Just try it. Push yourself and see what happens. You might be surprised. I'm extremely surprised. 5 months ago, I would have never guessed I would be where I am today, honestly, with this, that I'd be going live on Nightride FM, that I have made all the friends that I made. It's awesome, you know. You can surprise yourself, really. You can change your life just by taking a risk or just having some courage, really. And then the next big thing for me was, speaking of Nightride FM, was actually going live on Nightride FM. Because I had never done anything like that in my life, really. I had done public speaking a few times in high school and college, and I got better at it. Frankly, I'm decent at public speaking. But, I mean, going live on an internet radio, and it was so technical, like Z, thank God, spent so long helping me set everything up, like over the course of like the 2.5 days before that. We were constantly chatting, and I am not tech savvy at all. I'm 25, but I have the tech savviness of a wrench. Like just an inanimate object could probably figure things out better than I can. I'm honestly I don't get tech stuff really. Computer stuff just baffles me. So he was so kind, and he spent a lot of time helping me out. And I'm really endlessly appreciative to him for that, because I freaking love going live. It's fun as hell. I love interacting with people live. I love DJing. It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's like streaming on Twitch, but just 10 times better, honestly. But really, going live was very difficult, honestly, at first. The first few episodes were pretty tough because I came out of a really stressful job last year. I worked for a nonprofit in D.C., and I was the administrative assistant for a bunch of executives, basically like 8 or 9, like people in their 40s or 50s, like very established, very high power, basically kind of workaholics. And I'm just like, I just finished an internship somewhere and I graduated college. I have like barely any idea what I want to do. And here I am. And that job sucked. Looking back at it, that job really sucked. And I would be so stressed because like the communications director would always put all this pressure on me. And whenever like we send out emails to all of our people on our email list, like thousands and thousands of people, I would be so anxious that I was going to mess something up. You know, like I was always in this mindset of like, what am I going to mess up today, basically? And it was just really stressful. And going live really helped me to realize like that, one, there's nothing to be afraid of, and two, that mistakes are okay. You know, I don't think we learn really in life. Not all people really learn. It takes time to realize that it's okay to make mistakes. You know, it's okay to go live and mess up your DJing. It's okay to make some mistakes at work. It's okay to, you know, forget something at the grocery store. These things happen, and there's no reason to get upset. You know, I'm a very strong believer. I don't like getting upset or angry unless like I have a really, really good reason. And I mean, like if someone does something really terrible to me, then I'll get upset or angry. But you know, in terms of like small inconveniences, it's okay to make mistakes. And it took me a while to learn this, and the podcast really did help me learn this. So, and now when I go live, I don't have any anxiety, really. I don't have any stress. I feel comfortable. I feel happy. I try to relate that. You know, I try to be energetic. You know, though of course that comes down to preparation. But yeah, it's been great for really helping me boost my confidence. The past few months in general, also personally, I've boosted my confidence radically through trying different things. I've hated driving, and I have barely driven, honestly, most of my adult life. And then I drove a van full of stuff up to Toronto for like 2 hours on the freeway, which for most people is nothing, but for someone that had barely driven, and I have not driven at all since high school, it was a really big deal for me. And then doing a bunch of other stuff. It's just been a really eventful few months for me, and I feel like I've grown immensely, and you know, the podcast has really helped a lot with that. It's been great. And then the last thing I really want to talk about was the community interaction. The people I've talked to and the friends I've made during this whole thing really also make it what it is. I mean, you know, I've said this a few times. I think honestly, interacting directly with the artists that make the music that I love is the coolest part of Synthopsis, really. And my monitors went blank. There they are. That threw me off a little bit. But yeah, interacting daily with the interacting with the artist that I love. Let me step back. I love the artist, but I don't love you guys. Interacting with the artists who make the music that I love is awesome, right? Like, basically, Wraith Walker and I are basically friends. I mean, we are friends, and we talk pretty consistently, and he sends me some stuff he's working on every once in a while. It's just great. I love it. I love the interaction, you know? And I love feeling like I'm part of this nice, cozy family, because that's really what it is, you know? SynthFam is, you know, it's a hashtag, but I think it's a real thing. Really. I'm very, very excited to see everyone at Neon Retrofest. And I hope as many people as possible will be there. But I think the Synthwave community is phenomenal at making people feel welcome and accepted. And like I did, you can just come out of nowhere. And as long as you're cool and you contribute, you'll be accepted. You know, you don't have to be special. I mean, all of us are special, but you don't have to do anything special. That's a better way to put it. I didn't do anything special. I just posted my episodes and I just naturally talk with people. And everyone is just so welcoming and friendly that, you know, like Jules Neon Fox, pretty much anyone that's familiar with the Synthwave community on Twitter knows him. He's like the most friendly guy on planet Earth. And he was like my 10th follower or something. You know, like, this is a guy, like, big producers wear his t-shirts and stuff. This is a famous dude. Everyone knows him. And he was like the 10th dude that followed me. You know, like, you guys are just so awesome. And I love that. I love the warmth and the friendliness of the Synthwave community. I'm working on my biggest episode to date. Little spoiler for those of you listening. It's going to be on what is Synthwave. And a lot of it is about the community. Because Synthwave is more than music. It's about you guys. It's about me. It's about all of us. We all come together to get nostalgic and crazy over the music that we love. I just dropped something. Sorry. I hope no one's eardrums died after that. Yeah, my phone fell. Sorry. But yeah, it's really about all of us coming together and just being great. And it makes me so happy, really. I love you guys. So, the friends I've made, I haven't really met any of you in real life yet because all the concerts got canceled thanks to coronavirus. But hopefully this all blows over and gets resolved by August for Neon Retrofest. I'm really looking forward to Neon Retrofest. It's going to be great. So, do I have anything else I want to say? And, oh yeah, also in terms of artists. Before I did the podcast, I listened to Synthwave for years. But on my playlist and all my music, I would just see names, really. Like, I would see, you know, Perturbator, Carpenter Brute, whoever, Laserhawk, Scandroid, these were all just like names on a list to me, you know, or they're like personas in my mind. They were never people that I actually interacted with. And being able to reach out to these artists and talk with them and, I mean, have them thank me. Honestly, they thank me. Sometimes people thank me when I play their music. It makes me overjoyed. It makes me so happy to just be able to talk to people directly. I don't know, it's just the coolest thing, honestly. Even if you're just a bedroom producer, even if you just make music on the side, you have a full-time job, I love your music, and I love you as a person, you know, because most of you are so nice, and your music is awesome. So, I don't know. Really, that's all I wanted to say. But yeah, I don't know, I went on a little bit tangent. But yeah, the podcast really helped me realize, and interacting with people made me realize that these names on a list aren't just names on a list. They're real people. Like, every single person has a story, is a real person. You know, I'm a person. None of you know me personally, really, outside of maybe this episode and a few other things I've said. But every single one of us, we all have pasts, we all have futures, and we all are going through different things. And I think being able to realize that and see that and talk with certain people about their lives is, you know, it makes the whole process much more intimate. And I really love that intimacy of being able to talk directly with the artists I love about, like, stuff besides their music, you know. That's great. So, that's really it, I think. I hope I'm not really missing anything. But, you know, I really want to say that doing this has been very, very, it's made me very happy. I love it. I do get a little burnt out here and there, so I have to recharge my batteries. But by now, I've figured out how to, and it's basically honestly just to listen to a crap ton of music. It gets me excited. listen to old songs, listen to new songs. It recharged my batteries. We all get burnt out every once in a while. But I love doing this. It's a creative outlet for me. I've really been realizing in the past few years that I am extremely creative and I love using my creativity. And this has been a way for me to just, you know, spew out these ideas I have and flesh them out and create, make something that is fleshed out and thorough, because I like making projects. I like using my brain to make projects, basically. And this is that for me. It's my outlet. And I'm extremely happy that people are receptive, because when I started this whole thing, I was thinking about how I want to style it. And honestly, I was like, you know what? This is my hobby. I want to be myself. I want to say the stupid jokes I would say to my friends. I want to talk about the ludicrous things that come to my mind. I want to make the stupid, wacky analogies that I make with my mother and brother, like the people closest to me. And the fact that I'm able to do that and people are like, yo, that was funny, or that was cringe and cool, but whatever. People, like, I'm just glad that you guys received the podcast as well as you do. It makes me so happy that I don't have to change or, like, be fake. Because really, I mean, if you guys hang out with me in real life, I promise you I'm going to be the exact same. Like, this is just how I am. And I just love that you guys accept me for that. So, a lot of gushy feelings in this episode, but I feel like I owe it to you guys, to my listeners, and to the community at large to thank you all for your support, your encouragement, and the privilege I have of being able to play your music and serve you guys. I am thinking more about ways that I can be more useful to the community. I love social media. And we'll see. I don't know. I have ideas in my mind. I'm going to, of course, keep doing side episodes like, you know, artist branding and marketing and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm always cooking up things. And I like helping you guys out in the different ways, because you guys have infinite amount of resources for how to make more music and whatever. But I think there are things artists and producers would like to learn that maybe their resources less accessible for. So I want to be that person, you know. A little bit vague, a little cryptic, but I don't have my ideas fully fleshed out yet. Just a small teaser, I guess. But in any case, thank you all so much for your support and for allowing Synthopsis to be what it is. We will continue. I will keep making episodes, and it's going to be awesome. Let's end up with the last five. It is an episode, so we will have a last five. First and foremost, Master Boot Records album, Floppy Disk Overdrive. Guys, I've been listening to this album almost nonstop since it came out last Friday. It's still a little early. It's still Sunday. It's been like 3 days. I can't give an entire verdict. I think anyone that reviews a song fully before a week is, you're not doing it justice, a song or an album. Like, you can't review an album fully in like a week or like a day or two. It's just not, it's not feasible. It takes time to digest stuff. So my initial reaction after listening a few times is it's phenomenal. It sounds like him. He's put in some classical elements. I know he's very heavily influenced by classical stuff. It's great. I have a lot of respect for him. I don't know him obviously as a person, but I, from the messages he's put out and the things he said lately in light of coronavirus and how humble he is, I've interacted with him a few times in Nightmare FM Discord. I have a lot of respect for MBR. And I'm very, very glad that this album is, honestly, it's like second best selling on band in all of Bandcamp right now or something. He deserves every ounce of respect and success that he gets. But this album is phenomenal. I encourage you all to check it out. It is on Spotify and Bandcamp right now. Floppy Disk Overdrive. It is awesome. My favorite song is, and of course I'm going to forget, right, as I want to say. I can't remember off the top of my head. Whatever. Stop. Okay. So in any case, check it out. It's awesome. Master Boot Record is awesome. Absolute beast. Laser Punk album is coming out March 24th. I believe he said he lost his day job in light of coronavirus. So please support Laser Punk. March 24th. That's 2 days from now. His album's coming out. Volcor X album, This Is Our Planet Now, is coming out April 10th. Awesome. Volcor X makes great music. Awesome music. Looking forward to that. Altered by Fixed Neon, which is 17 original tracks of cyberpunk goodness. It's 17 tracks by 17 different artists, I believe. Like, they've got Dead Life, Inexcedra, Scandroid, Signal Void. It's Fixed Neon, so of course they're going to have their people on it. But I'm very, very excited. I haven't gotten around to listening to it yet. But, I mean, they've got some awesome names under it. I think Inexcedra is a very promising artist. He has not released, he's only released like two albums, but they're very high quality. He seems like a very smart dude. He's only like 20-year-old music theory student. I don't know. He seems very promising. I'm looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to his new music, so should be good. Alpha Crumb Yayo, another awesome dude in the community. Album 19th Hole is 15 tracks. It's all about golf. It's literally an album about, like, not about golf, but it's themed around golf. I mean, this dude is like, also, I feel like Choke, his like darker album came out. Excuse me. I feel like that came out like a month ago or something. And now he's releasing another album. It's 15 songs. So the dude's kind of a beast. But yeah, golf album should be good. I got his discography on Bandcamp Day. So I'm looking forward to, hopefully one day I'm going to go through all of his music. He's got a lot of music. So we'll see. I like his style. It's definitely funky. It's definitely different. He's unique. He's an awesome, friendly dude. He's a real gem for sure. So let's check that out. I don't know if it's out now. I know you can pre-order it. I don't know when it comes out, though. Apologies. Starfarer EP, spaced out. No date. Terradyne single, Trona Pinnacles. Trona Pinnacles. It's awesome. It's like 5 minutes long. It's really good. Really, really good. It's a single, but it's great. It's kind of atmospheric. He made it for his friend's motorcycle video. I like it. It's not like really heavy dark synth. It's kind of cyberpunky, if I remember. I only listened like twice. It's great, though. It's very good. Dark Smoke Signal, The Antipope Resurrection. I believe this is an album. Guys, I'm going to go on a tangent here. Please, for the love of God Almighty, if you make a poster or something, an advertisement for a song, an album, please tell the important details. Is this a song? Is this an album? When is it coming out? Like, please don't leave this up to assumption, you know, because it's just better to give these important details to people. I honestly see this way more often than I should. Like, I don't want to sound like a dick, but, you know, like, you really should, if you put so much energy into a release, you should tell people what it is and what's coming out, you know, and where they can find it. I mean, the usual platforms, of course, but please, oh, my tea's getting cold. Please do not skip on the details, guys. They're important. I don't know. What else can I say? Ace Buchanan and Primo single, Secret, came out last Friday. Forerunner X EP Memory Vision is out. He's released a few EPs. I actually didn't know. I thought he only had one album. This was the only thing on Spotify, but I just realized on Bandcamp he has other stuff. I think I listened to the whole EP today. I liked the first song a lot, Cyber Skyline, I think. It was really, really good. So check that out. Forerunner X, he's a very small dark synth artist, but he's very talented, very good. It's called Memory Vision. It's very good. I recommend. I'm going to play one of his songs next week for sure. Facehugger EP Lost and Found just came out of nowhere. I feel like he dropped Imprint a few, like a month ago or something. I listened to it today. It was pretty good. Frankly, I think he has better stuff. But this one is good. It's not very high tempo. It's not very high BPM. It's okay. I listened to it, I think, just once today. But my first impression was I thought it was fine. Zetra Void also dropped another single. He's been dropping a lot of singles lately. End World Protocol. Pretty good. Pretty intense. It's great. I like it. I'm a big fan of Zetra Void and his stuff. Seems like a cool dude. In light of, moving on from releases, in light of coronavirus, everyone is being forced to stay at home. The world is changing, and with change, we always have to adapt. Certain people are adapting. Nightwave is it's a dark synth party they do in New York City. I've been putting it off for months, but hopefully when this all ends, I'm going to go. I'm going to freaking dance my ass off with everyone else and go. But Nightwave obviously got canceled, and instead they did Nightwave live on Twitch, and they had a whole bunch of DJs in Faith in the Glitch's house just DJing, and there were like 150 people watching live. It was awesome. It was literally like a virtual party. Like, everyone on Twitch was spamming emotes, we were all having fun, and the DJing was phenomenal. I rediscovered Carpenter Brute's remix of Remorse from that DJ mix. I heard that song when I first started listening to synthwave in college, and I didn't like it for some reason. I think I might have been like mentally deficient back then, because I don't know how you can like how I could not like that remix. But yeah, that was awesome. It was really, really great. I hope they do more of it later on. But yeah, also Lord Nikon, dark synth artist, he's great. Did a live stream. It was very cool. What I'm trying to say is, guys, this is the time to be live streaming. People are home. You can't do tours. This could be a way you can build yourself up on Twitch, honestly. you can try to get some subscribers, especially if you already have a fan base. Just say, hey, I'm going live. You can see me live on Twitch and show yourself and show your stuff, and people will watch. I promise you, if you have fans, they will watch. Get it set up. It's just really, it's an opportunity to give people some respite, give people something to watch, and you can keep growing your fan base while you're sitting at home. You're hitting two eggs with one stone. Not eggs, two birds. You can hit eggs with a stone, though. Yeah, whatever. Live streaming is, this is the time. Also, I think also Essinger was saying he wanted to do some kind of virtual festival. Like, this is the time for creativity, guys. Like, people, the people that are being creative and that are really trying to get ahead of the curve are going to, you know, I don't want to say, like, take advantage of this opportunity, but it's really important to always just try to stay ahead of the curve and, you know, be creative. I think there's always so much you can gain from just having some creativity. And these people really are doing it. So I encourage you guys to think a little bit, think outside the box, put on your creative goggles and see what you can do. I want to give a small comment. This is not related to anything really. I want to give a small comment actually on TikTok and social media platforms in general. I think there's a lot of pressure for content creators to be on social media for the sake of being on it. And I think that is very wrong. I'm a firm believer that you should only be on a social media platform if you can create good and engaging content on that platform. TikTok is the new thing right now. It's very Zoomer friendly. All the kids are doing it. It's the new thing. Like, Snapchat is dead. Vines have been dead for a while. Now it's TikTok, right? Facebook is gone, whatever. But I saw some producers having a conversation like, oh, I feel so out of place here. What am I doing? But we got to do it anyways. No, you actually don't have to do it anyways. Think about it. Because you could be putting that time and effort that you're, let's assume that you're being on TikTok for the sake of it and you're making bad content. You're making content that people don't want to see, and you're making content that is not really going to get you many fans. Well, some people might argue you're not really losing anything, except you are. You're losing your time. That's time you could be putting onto Twitter. You could be making on a YouTube video. You could be on literally any other social platform. I really think it's very imperative that content creators assess which platforms are actually best for them to gain and retain fans, right? Because every single platform is different. Is there a large Synthwave community on TikTok? Are there a lot of people on TikTok that could like Synthwave? I don't know. But these are questions you should be asking yourself before you go and make a TikTok and spend an hour trying to make some silly fake video to get likes, you know? Not saying that people are, like, not saying you guys are doing that, but other people definitely are. And I don't know. I've never been a fan of, now I'm really going on a tangent, but whatever. Basically, I just think it's important to be on social media platforms with a purpose. Have a purpose. You're on Twitter because you can directly engage with the synth community that's very active on Twitter. You're on Facebook to be in different Facebook groups, maybe the shitposting group, maybe the enthusiast groups, and you can offer something. You're on Reddit in the Outrun subreddit or the RetroWave subreddit because you understand the content there and you can post good content that's relatable. Like, these are very, very clear goals and they have clear purposes, and you can actually gain followers and fans and keep them through those platforms. Don't just be on a platform because everyone else is doing it. Like, I don't want to kind of come off as arrogant here, but I'm not on any other platform because I just don't think I'd really add anything valuable. I'm also lazy, but I know that on Twitter, I get a lot out of it. I'm able to interact with all the right people. I could also use Reddit, but that's just me being lazy, frankly. But I'm also not on Snapchat or TikTok or whatever because it would just be a waste of time, frankly. So, not to imply that I have everything under the sun figured out about social media, because I know I definitely don't, but these are my observations at least. I would be interested to hear what you guys think. And that's it for the episode. Tea break. I have been really drinking herbal tea lately with ginger, honey, and lemon, and it's really good. I feel really good after I drink it. You gotta take care of yourselves, guys. So, yeah. That's it for this week. Next week, we are doing Dark Synth Revisited. It's been one of my most popular episodes. It was the episode I did right when I started the podcast. I feel like at the time, I had a good idea, and I think it came out well. But 5 months later, I figured out more. I basically figured out my script. I figured out how to do my episodes. I figured out the things I like talking about. So I want to revisit the topic. I want to explore it in depth. And I've been thinking about it a lot, talking about it with my brother. And I'm not going to really be super analytical. I'm not going to be super critical. I'm not going to sit and bash people or, you know, I'm going to talk about tropes and pitfalls mainly. But I really want to put the emphasis on the stuff that I love. Why is dark synth my favorite subgenre? Why do I feel almost euphoric when I listen to synthwave music, like certain dark synth, you know? What is the essence that captures me and makes me fall in love with it? I want to try to explore that because I think that's much more positive. But of course, what would a Synthopsis episode be without some good old analysis? So there will be a mix of both, of course. And I hope you all enjoy. I'm very much looking forward to it. I've got a lot of notes. I'm going to have the ambition of having the entire episode have music playing nonstop the entire time. This is going to be something I've never done before. It's going to be live, of course. I'm going to have like 30 songs from 30 different artists. That's my goal, basically. 30 songs from 30 different artists. And I'm going to have always something always playing. It's going to be hype. I am very excited for this episode. I hope you guys are too. I'm going to try to gas up a bit during the week. So I hope you all tune in live or here in the future, whatever. I appreciate you guys listening. So thank you all. Let's close with an outro song. I don't know. I've been all over floppy disk overdrive, honestly, so I'll just play a song. What's it called? I'm looking right now. See, I'm looking in the future. I'm listening in the past. I don't know right now, but the song is already playing because it's the future. Oh, it's called defrag.exe. So enjoy this beautiful bit, this beautiful song, and we will be back next week with some dark synth. Thank you all. I love you all. Take care, stay safe, and stay inside. Stay inside, please, unless you have to survive. Stay inside. Don't talk to anyone. Don't shake any hands. Bye-bye. Love y'all.